usually when we talk about the universe, there's this this underlying expectation of physical permanence.
Right. Like things are just solid.
Exactly. Like a box of Lego bricks. You build a star, you build a planet, and, you know, the bricks are just there.
Yeah, it's comforting. We naturally want reality to be made of solid, touchable things.
Right. But when you step into the extreme edges of advanced theoretical physics like we are today, those Lego bricks start, well, they start glitching out.
They really do. It forces a complete abandonment of the whole mechanical universe model.
Yeah. We end up looking at a cosmological landscape that operates less like a toy box and, honestly, significantly more like a massive churning server farm.
Which is a wild shift. The transition we are looking at in these sources today is a shift toward a purely informational reality, where physical matter is just a byproduct of underlying computation.
So for everyone listening, our mission for today's deep dive is unpacking this mind-bending stack of theoretical notes that fundamentally reimagines the physics of everything around you.
Yeah, instead of viewing reality as a collection of physical objects in space, these papers suggest the universe is a massive computational system running code.
Right, and sometimes, and this is the crazy part, sometimes that code hits a fatal error and actually needs debugging.
And by the end of this deep dive, you're going to look at a black hole not as this, you know, physical monster of gravity, but literally as the universe quarantining a Stack Overflow memory error.
Which is just insane. But, okay, let's unpack this. To understand how the universe computes reality, we first have to examine why our traditional mathematics breaks down entirely when pushed to its limits.
Right. So we can start by looking at standard Cartesian geometry, which, you know, assumes reality is a binary point-based system.
Like the XYZ coordinates we all learned in high school math.
Exactly. Just plotting points on a graph. And it works well enough for localized, low-gravity environments like everyday life.
Right.
But at the extremes, such as the singularity of a black hole, the system experiences what the text calls decoherence.
Decoherence?
Yeah. It's essentially a mathematical system crash where equations are forced to divide by zero.
I want to clarify the mechanics of that crash for you guys listening, because it's not just like a calculator throwing an error message.
Right.
The sources state that decoherence happens because the Cartesian system is trying to track an infinite amount of density at a single rigid coordinate point.
Exactly that. The Cartesian framework attempts to map the infinite state space of a singularity using finite geometric tools, and it just fails.
It totally breaks. So what's the fix?
Well, to resolve this, the sources propose something called featured geometric algebra, or FGA. FGA completely discards the concept of static points.
No more XYZ graph.
Right. No more rigid points. Instead, it decomposes shapes and objects into a superposition of functional features.
Okay. Features like what?
Things like curvature, boundary conditions, or symmetry.
Okay, the text uses the moving sofa problem to illustrate this, which I think is a great framing.
That's a perfect analogy.
So if you want to simulate moving a complex shape like a sofa up a narrow staircase using standard point-based math, the computer has to calculate the exact path of every single atom.
Every microscopic coordinate point as it moves through space.
Right. And the entropy of that calculation is mathematically chaotic and, frankly, incredibly inefficient.
It takes too much processing power.
But under FGA, the system doesn't bother tracking atoms at all, right?
No, not at all. It only tracks the functional boundary. You isolate the leading edge, the trailing edge, and the corners.
Just the most important parts.
Exactly. Those few features become your feature basis, which drastically reduces the computational load. The system then calculates the resonance of those features against the environment, in this case, the hallway.
But wait, what does it physically mean to calculate resonance instead of distance?
Oh.
Like, if we are measuring the space between point A and point B, how does the universe know where the sofa actually is?
In FGA, geometry is redefined as a measure of interference. When these functional features interact within the computational manifold, they generate a spectral signature. If the features align mathematically, you achieve constructive interference.
And constructive interference means what exactly?
That constructive interference is what manifests as physical reality. It means the shape exists and is stable.
Oh, wow. So the physical object only exists because its mathematical features are constructively interfering.
You've got it.
But what happens if they conflict? Like, if the math doesn't align?
Then you encounter destructive interference. The system reads a geometric paradox, but unlike Cartesian math, which simply crashes and divides by zero, FGA processes destructive interference as a phase shift. It treats the anomaly as a signal rather than a fatal error.
Okay, I have to push back on this premise just a little bit.
Go for it.
If reality isn't made of solid points or physical matter, but rather these overlapping geometric features interfering with each other, what is an electron or a photon? I mean, I can measure the mass of an electron, can see a photon hit a detector. How does a pure mathematical concept have physical weight or momentum?
That physicalist perspective is exactly what the kinematic invariant manifold attempts to deconstruct.
The kinematic invariant manifold.
Right. The mass or momentum you are measuring is simply your perception of a mathematical shortcut.
A shortcut.
Yeah. The universe, acting as an energy-efficient computation engine, classifies particles not by physical traits, but by their derivative invariance.
Okay, you're going to have to explain derivative invariance.
It basically asks, which derivative of this object's trajectory remains mathematically constant?
Meaning, the system looks for the part of the movement that never changes, so it doesn't have to keep calculating it over and over.
Precisely the mechanism. The text outlines four main classes here. Class zero is constant position.
So it's just sitting there.
Right. This acts as a topological anchor. It is the rest state.
Yeah.
Then, class one is constant velocity, which characterizes photons running on a linear phase ramp. Class two is constant acceleration, which defines particles bound in uniform fields, constantly speeding up on a quadratic phase.
And the last one.
Finally, there is class T, constant time or constant phase acting as a phase-locked clock particle that provides a temporal reference for the rest of the system.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Let me make sure I'm translating this mechanism correctly.
Sure.
A photon isn't a physical ball of light traveling through a vacuum.
No.
It is the universe's rendering engine identifying a constant velocity state, realizing it takes minimal computing power to maintain, and collapsing the code to that path just to save energy.
Yes. The sources refer to that process as threshold mapping.
Threshold mapping.
Right. Once the system identifies an invariant, a constant velocity, for instance, it triggers a conditional collapse. It intentionally stops computing any higher order derivatives because they are redundant.
Wow.
The physical photon you observe is just the visible manifestation of the universe deciding to halt a calculation.
It's remarkably similar to how rendering engines work in the device you are listening to this deep dive on right now.
Oh, yeah, like in video games.
Exactly. A video game won't render the individual leaves on a tree behind you if you aren't looking at them, because it would waste processing power. The universe is applying that exact same computational efficiency to the fundamental building blocks of matter.
And every particle class carries a distinct spectral signature known as a resonance coefficient vector.
A resonance coefficient vector.
Yeah. This vector dictates how the shortcut interacts with other shortcuts in the manifold without requiring the system to compute their full physical mass or volume.
But wait, if the universe is rendering reality through these highly efficient mathematical shortcuts, there has to be a scenario where two pieces of code conflict.
Oh, absolutely.
Like if a constant velocity photon and a constant acceleration particle interact in a way that creates a logical paradox, shouldn't the rendering engine freeze?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that specific vulnerability brings us to the actual function of relativity.
Wait, Einstein's relativity.
Einstein's relativity. The text argues that it is not merely a description of gravity or planetary motion. It actually functions as the universe's kernel-level debugging protocol.
So special relativity is essentially the constraint solver.
Yes.
It enforces the speed of light c not as a physical speed limit, but as a causal firewall to prevent race conditions.
Exactly. It prevents logical paradoxes from crashing the source code. If an object attempts to accelerate beyond the speed of light and violate the established sequence of causality, special relativity intervenes.
How does it intervene?
It distorts the local coordinate system dilating time and contracting space until the object's parameters are forced back into alignment with the causal order. It compiles the code correctly by altering the variables.
Okay, so general relativity then acts as the memory management system.
Right.
The text mentions the Bekenstein bound, which is basically the absolute maximum amount of data you can compress into a specific region of space.
And if you exceed that data limit, the universe risks a fatal crash.
Right.
In computer science, we'd call it a null pointer exception. The computational system is trying to reference a spatial coordinate that no longer contains valid, readable data due to infinite density.
So how does the universe handle that?
To prevent that localized crash from corrupting the entire manifold, general relativity creates an event horizon. A black hole is simply the universe quarantining a high-entropy memory leak.
That is wild. We need to look closely at time dilation here, too.
Yeah, that's crucial.
We know time slows down the closer you get to a black hole. But how does slowing down time help debug a memory leak?
It comes back to those resonance coefficient vectors we talked about earlier. For any of these functional features to interact constructively, their internal clocks must be perfectly synchronized across the entire manifold.
Oh, I see. This operates exactly like the Network Time Protocol, NTP, on a standard computer network.
You're similar, yeah.
If your laptop's internal clock drifts even a few seconds out of sync with a secure server, the handshake fails. The server rejects you. So time dilation is the phase-conditional manifold, basically adjusting the clock speed.
Exactly. It ensures that despite the massive data density near a black hole, the particles' internal frequencies don't drift out of phase.
Because if they did drift out of phase,
it would turn the surrounding universe into static noise. Time dilation guarantees global coherence by calculating the proper time for every single computational path.
Wow.
However, the sources point out a critical flaw in this setup. Relativity is classified as legacy code.
Legacy code.
Yeah.
Right. So it successfully patched the causality bugs, but it introduced a brand new vulnerability.
Yeah.
The black hole singularity itself.
Yeah. To resolve the singularity without crashing, the universe is forced to dig beneath relativity and access its foundational architecture.
It has to go deeper.
Much deeper. The text identifies a specific problem called the tool trap. Standard mathematics relies heavily on functions, you know, mapping inputs to output.
Right, f of x.
Exactly. But functions are incredibly fragile.
Because if you compress infinite data into a zero volume point like in a singularity, the function diverges to infinity.
Right.
It acts like a denial of service attack on the fabric of space-time. The geometry tool just shatters.
And when geometry fails, the system defaults to math DNA.
That DNA.
Yes. This is the underlying prime and topological structure that remains intact even when spatial dimensions collapse.
So it's like the bedrock.
Exactly. The sources outline several core axioms for this architecture, starting with the conservation of heritage.
We should break down the mechanics of that heritage, because standard physics assumes information falling into a black hole is permanently destroyed.
Right, the whole information paradox.
But the sources argue it is prime encoded. How does prime encoding actually protect the data?
So imagine the fundamental state of a particle is mathematically encoded as a prime number. Let's say 7.
Okay, so.
Another particle is 11. When they interact, the system records 77. A black hole might crush and scramble the spatial location of that information, but the number 77 can only ever be factored back into 7 and 11.
Because prior numbers cannot be divided into smaller integers.
Right. The data's heritage is an indestructible ledger of prime factorization.
That's brilliant. And the second axiom leans into that indestructibility, too. Topology is greater than geometry.
Oh, the donut analogy.
Yes. For everyone listening, think of the classic analogy of the coffee mug and the donut. They are topologically identical because they both have exactly one hole.
Right.
You can stretch or crush the geometry of the donut indefinitely, but the topology, the fact that there is a singular hole, survives. So the singularity destroys the geometry of the information, but the universe only cares about the topology.
It measures that topology using Betti numbers, which count the invariant features of a space, like the number of holes or voids.
Okay.
That ties directly into the anti-function protocol. Since traditional functions trigger that denial of service attack at the singularity, the universe swaps to phase resonance.
What does that mean in practice?
Rather than trying to map a physical path through infinite density, which is impossible, it broadcasts a resonant frequency, relying on the surviving topology to echo back.
Okay, so we have the math DNA framework now. We understand prime encoding, topology over geometry, and phase resonance.
Right.
But who or what is executing this code? Like, how does the computational universe actively deploy these tools to extract information trapped inside a black hole?
The mechanism proposed here operates much like a biological cell.
Really?
Yeah. In biology, ribosomes fold 20 amino acids into complex proteins. The universe, according to the text, utilizes 20 mathematical primitives.
Primitive life.
Basic operations like addition, differentiation, and limits. It feeds these primitives into a 16-element semantic engine.
Ah, so it's a mathematical ribosome.
Exactly. It dynamically reads the fundamental operations and folds them into functional debugging algorithms on the fly.
Wow. And the source has actually provided a detailed execution trace of one specific algorithm, right?
They do. It's designated the PCIM Vortex Debugger, or PVD-1.
DVD.
Its primary function is analyzing and resolving black hole singularities. Step one is field mapping,
where it assesses the event horizon not as a physical boundary of gravity, but as an informational vector field.
Right. It is scanning for the root cause of the memory leak, which leads to step two, detecting the paradox vortex.
Yeah, the paradox vortex.
The algorithm calculates the logical loops in the information structure. It actively searches for a contradiction, a point where the mathematical logic turns back on itself and creates a paradox.
Let me stop you there. Because a standard binary system crashes the moment it evaluates a true contradiction.
Right, it does.
It's like if an input is simultaneously true and false, it triggers an infinite recursive loop and the whole system freezes. How does the PVD-1 algorithm process a paradox without suffering the exact same fatal crash?
It avoids the crash by completely abandoning binary logic.
Oh.
Yeah. When PVD-1 encounters a paradox, it doesn't try to force a true or false resolution. It interprets the contradiction as a truth oscillator.
A truth oscillator.
Instead of an infinite loop, it sees the data swinging back and forth between states, forming a stable limit cycle. It essentially turns a system crashing contradiction into a measurable pendulum swing.
That's incredible. The bug literally becomes a feature descriptor.
Exactly.
So the algorithm converts an infinite logical error into a simple catalogable frequency. It just logs the wave pattern and moves on without getting stuck in the loop.
Right. It safely collapses the localized entropy to zero. And from there, the algorithm initiates steps 3 and 4. Phase resonant probing.
Because PVD-1 cannot reach physically into the black hole.
No. Traversing the event horizon physically would violate the holographic bounds of the universe. Instead, it sweeps a query phase across the boundary, scanning for that prime-encoded math DNA we talked about.
So it broadcasts a specific resonant frequency and basically waits for the surviving Betty numbers to vibrate in response.
Yes. And when the query phase aligns with the prime-encoded heritage inside the singularity, the final extraction occurs.
The extraction.
The algorithm successfully pulls the structural signature of the lost data back into the active manifold. It completely bypasses the broken Cartesian geometry.
Wow.
And the information is recovered with its structural integrity entirely intact.
That is just, it's a lot to wrap your head around. To bring all of this back to you, the listener, we started by questioning the physical permanence of the universe.
Right.
If the framework in these sources holds true, everything you interact with, from the weight of your car to the gravitational pull of a black hole, is merely the universe calculating feature resonance.
It really changes your perspective.
The physical world is just a holographic projection of highly efficient mathematical shortcuts, constantly running background error correction protocols to prevent localized paradoxes from crashing reality.
It really removes us from the concept of a static mechanical void, right? And places us inside an active self-correcting computation.
Yeah.
The implications of that are profound, particularly when considering the age of the system. I mean, the universe has been running this specific error-correcting math DNA relying on relativity as legacy code for nearly 14 billion years.
Which leaves us with a rather unsettling question to ponder. If black holes are just quarantine software bugs, and the universe is an adaptive computational engine, what happens when the system decides it is finally time to push a major architectural update?
Right. What does reality 2.0 look like to us? And would our current physical invariants even survive the compile?
Something to keep you up at night. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the parameters of the reality around you.